Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker because summer is here and the time is right. And we are doing it. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Oh, I thought you were going to say for dancing in the street.
You know, grilling in the yard.
I heard a little David Lee Roth coming on there.
Yeah.
Or Aretha. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining the Grilling Guys. If we're on the air, it's the weekend. So it's time to fire up that grill.
I'm ready, man. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to go get a little grill meat this weekend. As soon as the show's done here, I'm jumping in the truck, and I'm headed to Saginaw Bay. Going to go see our friend Captain Ken, Gyra Charters.
Nice.
And we're going to spend a couple days fishing. Going to head out on Sunday and Monday and see if we can put some wallies in the box and bring them home. So I'm really looking forward to that.
You've got some good weather anyway, and, well, who knows? Maybe tomorrow it's raining. I don't know, but Monday should be good.
Right. Yep, looking forward to it. Our friend Tim Sobey. And his wife are going as well, so I'm sure between the fishing
Teresa.
Trips, between the fishing trips, we'll have some good steaks and meat sticks and all of that.
You so might even have a dipsy doodle on
right.
The way.
Oh yeah, but anyway, so looking forward to that because when you're with the meat man and the king of the walleye fishing in Saginaw Bay, you're bound to have a good time.
You know, I had a bunch of nephews over last weekend. And they're from Detroit, and their father's Polish, and their last name is Mikowajczyk. And I went to Sobey's to get a bunch of meat sticks, and I had to get a bunch of pork butts for the church. I had to feed like 800 people Sunday morning. Yeah, it was easy. And but so I knew the Mikowajczyk boys would be over, so I went and saw my favorite Polish butcher.
Sure.
Because all the best butchers are Polish.
Right.
It's just a fact. And I told them that the butcher was Polish, and they lit right up. They did the hot sticks with the cheese. They did the hillbilly jerky. They did the Terry sticks. They were just – they're all college age, you know. They were my boys. So they went through pound after pound of meat sticks and jerky. It was – so hats off to Sobey there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I fed 800 people
hungry
Sunday
parishioners.
Morning. Yes.
Yeah. For Father's Day last weekend,
and
right?
And last night I fed 80 hungry women.
Really?
Do you know it cost more for the steak for those 80 women than it did for butts for 800? There's some math. Jop, you're good with math.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's for the ladies. It was their first steak night ever, right, at the church. So that was kind of cool that they got together and did that.
Yep.
So how'd you cook them, man? Let's break that down. How do you cook butts for 800 and make sure it's hot for everybody?
Well, I loaded up my smoker, and I got up at 5 in the morning to check on them, and I panicked because they were only at 125.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You want to get them to like what, 190?
But I had so much ice cold meat in that thing, it went into a major heat sink or a heat drop. So, I should have started at 6 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. I thought 8
at
o'clock.
Night before,
8
right?
o'clock the night before is like I'm way ahead. Nope, need to go another couple. So there's a little lesson for barbecue boys.
Yeah, well, the thing was is your smoker will hold that much meat. But when you take it out and it's cold, as it always is, because you're not going to let
it was on ice.
Yeah, you're not going to let that stuff warm up. Is that when you load that thing up like that? That's dense. I mean, there's a lot of cold meat inside of there, and that smoker's got to work extra hard. And you know, it's overnight thing. So how'd you finish? I mean, if you were at that temp, with 3 hours to go.
I panicked. I built a giant fire. I pulled a bunch of them off, threw them into my oven at 4 1/4. They were all wrapped, you know,
right?
Because I got up at 5 and wrapped them. And or did I wrap them at midnight? God, I can't even remember how it went. It was a tragic, tragic event. Long and the short of it is, I managed to get the smoker down there, get set up, because I didn't have to start feeding people till 10:30. I found enough of them that would pull. I sliced a couple. I left a bunch in the oven. I rotated, threw more in the oven before we left, and I had the boys helping me and Livy, so they were shuttling meat back and forth. Long and the short of it was, people ranted and raved about the barbecue. Of course, it's free, right?
Right, yeah.
I thought it was good, but it was definitely it was nerve-wracking because you don't want to disappoint 800 people, even if they are just walking out of church.
Right.
You could get hurt.
Well, the other piece was last night with 80 steaks for the ladies. That's no small feat either because they all want to sit down and eat together.
Oh, it's not like men's steak night.
Right.
I did 220 for the men's steak night. There was only 80, so it was much easier. Again, Sobey, it's a Sobey commercial. Tim hooked me up with beautiful choice New York strip loins, and I smoked the whole loin, and then I sliced the steaks and grilled them.
Right.
They were fantastic.
That is a cool way to do it. If you got to feed a lot of people, because you had several loins to feed that many ladies, but yep. if you got a barbecue coming over when there's a dozen people coming over, that whole boneless loin like that, and you put it in the smoker, how long was it in the smoker? What'd you
About
bring
2
it to?
Hours.
And what temperature did you bring it up to?
110.
Right. Okay, so you're not even a medium rare.
No. You got to be able to slice it, throw it on the grill. You know, so I sliced it, seasoned both sides, flashed them on the grill a little bit, brought them up to medium. They all wanted medium to medium well, right?
Right. Well,
except
ladies.
One.
Yeah. Well, good. There was one in the crowd then anyway. But anyway, so that's kind of cool. But that's a great tip because that way you can cut them off. You can cut them to size.
Yeah. You've only got a couple minutes on the grill that way.
Right. And you just put some grill marks on them and bring them up temperature a little
yep.
bit. So you took them right from the smoker, didn't let it rest or anything. You just put them right on there, cut them up, and finish them off.
Now, we had an emergency at home. My father-in-law came down with a terrible virus, and it was contagious. So we've been bleaching and shampooing the entire house. So I called a company called West Michigan Carpet Cleaning and Restoration. These guys, two guys, were at my house for 6 hours. I mean, it's like a brand-new house. So I want to give them a little hat tip. It's WMCCR.com, West Michigan Carpet Cleaning Restoration, WMCCR.com. Two guys, young guys, beautiful equipment. They were like machines.
Really?
And that house is spick and span. My wife is so happy because they just did everything. Once they got done with the room, she'd go, hey, why don't you have them look at the TV room in the basement? Hey, why don't you do this? Next thing you know, these guys, it's like 6 o'clock and they were packing up and I go, oh, hey, guys, one more. And they're like, dead silence. So just kidding.
Yeah.
It is very still cool. A good time to order Stormy Cromer. Don't forget the whole summer line of Stormy Cromer gear is out. And we're gonna place an order for some new swag for the grilling guys.
Yep.
But take a look at Stormy Cromer and take a look at those summer wax cotton hats that they have out.
Oh, those are badass.
They're really cool.
Yep.
Yep. And that's another good little tidbit for you.
Yeah. This show is all about the summertime and prepping for Independence Day. We're going to dive into doing a few different things on the grill, some preparations, toppings. That's one we probably don't spend enough time with because there's a lot of great little toppings you can put on top
yeah.
of grilled food that,
yeah.
that you can make right alongside. And some of them are super simple, and but do they enhance the flavor. So you listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. And Barbecue Bob's giving me the finger. What? You got one more thing here.
And I wanted to tell everybody that we're enjoying a nice switchback ale from Vermont.
Oh,
and what do you think of that?
I think it's pretty good. It's not Michigan beer.
No,
but
Vermont's like right above Michigan in production.
Oh, I thought you were going to say geographically. So, but anyway, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Stick with us. We're going to chop your pork when we get back.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5.
go to fenvalley.com.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than a half a percent of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsman.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you're just tuning in, hey, it's the weekend. Get out of bed, fire up a grill or a smoker. If you missed the first segment, Barbecue Bob smoked for almost 900 people in the last couple days. And I guess it was last week and last night. But
my
anyway,
lungs are killing me.
Yeah, that's a lot of smoky meat for one guy to do. But he pulled it off in Grilling Guys fashion. And we're going to dial that back a little bit and talk to you about some of the things you can do this summer that are kind of easy on the grill but are going to turn out great for you and your family. And but before we do that, Barbecue Bob just pulled another beer out of the cooler. What you got there?
This is a Brown's Brewing Company Cream Ale. Something else that I found to be very tasty in Vermont with my latest sortie out there. Vermont has lots of cool beers. It's a lot like Michigan. A lot of maple trees. Their hills are bigger, right. But they don't have nearly as many people, and they got Bernie.
Yeah, right. That's why you were really there, right? You went out to hang with Bernie for a few days?
Yes, that's
Knowing your political bend, that's exactly
what you did. And I say free beer for everybody.
Right. Why not? Man, why not? Did Bernie, is that, wait, look, there's a signature on that bottle. Bernie might have signed that bottle for you. I don't know if he did, but.
No, I don't think so.
No, wasn't him?
Nope. Didn't see him.
All right. Well, anyway, I talked about chopping your pork. We're going to do a little pork chops on the grill right now.
You're going to blow right by the wings, huh?
We'll get there in a second. I got them right here, all 50 flavors. No, let's do the pork chop first, being that I just.
Looks like we are.
Brought it that way. Now, bone-in or boneless? What's your pref?
Don't care much. I don't. It depends really on what's on sale.
It's just hog.
Yeah, that's right. And where you got them? You know how thick they're going to be? How you're doing them? How many you have to fit on the grill? If you have to fit a bunch on the grill, you don't need to take up a bunch of space with bone because.
Right.
My theory is. The bone already did its work, so grilling it on the bone you know, it doesn't add anything, in my opinion, to the meat. There's no way for that flavor to transfer.
Right.
It's already done it, so it's not going to jump across off the bone while it's on the grill.
Right, exactly. Some people like it for aesthetics. It's just a part of the look, but I agree with you. You know, the old adage is the meat's always sweeter next to the bone. There is a little bit of that, but I think the issue there is...
I think that already happened by
right,
the time.
Right, yeah, exactly, and it's usually a little more rare next to the bone because
that
heats up less. So
yes.
Maybe that's where that came from. But I don't know. But anyway, so...
Maybe it's not even... Yeah, whatever. I'll leave it alone.
So let's talk about pork chops on the grill. What is your favorite preparation of them?
Gosh, there's... You know, one of the things I guess I would caution people on pork chops is doing them too fast and overcooking them.
Right.
That's the biggest problem
dry
I see.
Out.
Yeah,
major
it's such a lean... Out. That loin is so lean.
Right. There's a fat cap on it, and that's around the edge. I prefer to leave that on when I'm cooking it. There's a ton of flavor in it if you eat it. Some people think because it's usually like a quarter inch thick.
If you can get it crispy.
Right. Yeah. If you can get it crispy, it's good. But the point is you can cut that off, but leave it on there while it's cooking. Watch for flare-ups because that'll render a little bit. And if you've got an open flame grill that you're cooking on, then...
Do you ever marinate pork chops?
Yeah. Yep.
What do you like to marinate them?
You know, simple things. There's always the zesty Italian dressing. That's like a go-to, right? But even the Lowry's ones that are at the store, they come in like a salad dressing bottle size.
Mm-hmm.
There's teriyaki that's really good on pork. There's a Hawaiian one that's got a kind of a citrus profile to it. That one's really good on pork. And they're easy. They're quick, you know, and pork takes marinade so well.
On chops, I like to oil them up just because that main loin portion is going to be so lean that if I put some EVO on it, and I do bring mine up in temp a bit. I let them sit out a little bit, even though it's pork. The pork we have now is so safe. I wouldn't take it as far as room temperature like I do with beef, but I definitely am not like panicked to throw it on ice cold.
Right, right.
But I'll very often, you know, what I like to do is just buy the loin and then cut nice thick chops and then take my Jacquard to it and drive the oil into it and tenderize it a bunch. And those work out really nicely. But,
you know, I want to talk about a quick topping that's really easy. The Old World Olive Company sells flavored balsamics, and they have a balsamic vinegar that's called cinnamon pear. And you take maybe a half a cup of that, put it in a saucepan. You can set it right on the grill beside the meat, or you can do it on the stove inside. But what you're doing is you're reducing that. Basically, you're thickening it. You're boiling it, and as the liquid burns off, you get a thicker, syrupy type. And putting that on a pork chop right at the end for like the last minute or two and letting that kind of just congeal a little bit on the top of your cooked pork is just fabulous. But
cooked
it's cinnamon
congeal.
Pear is the one I enjoy the most. Lots of flavors, any citrus flavor at
so
all
you
goes
just
really
strictly
well.
Strictly just a balsamic reduction.
Yeah, yep. I don't put anything.
You ever
in
do
it.
A chutney?
You know, I don't really know the sweet side of a chutney, how to make one of those. I love it when somebody else gives it to me, but it's something I've never tried to make.
Yeah. There's one that I make that's a pineapple mango chutney.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that on fish, pork, chicken, anything. And a chop is something that's nice to throw a little salsa or chutney or something on top of because,
again,
it's going to want to dry out as soon as you pull it off the grill, which is why stuffed pork chops are so popular because that stuffing tends to keep a lot of moisture in them.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been successful at grilling stuffed pork chops, though. I always find that to be a little risky.
It's a little indirect.
You have
I've
to do
done
it,
indirect. But you give them color and then set them on the indirect side and let them come up
that's
to temperature.
That's the only thing I feel safe about.
And that's where your thermopen comes in huge on that is because that pork is split open and there's a ball of stuffing on the inside of there, and you want to get that stuffing hot in the center. That means the meat's going to be cooked around.
You know what
it.
We're going to do? We're going to put a link to Thermopen since we talk about them so much and they're friends. We'll put a link on our website so that you can go right to thegrillingguys.com and you can check out the different things that Jop and I use from Thermopen. Very cool company, and just on the show last week, actually.
Yeah, they're good people. Great gift for Father's Day. If any of you guys got those out there, then we're you join the club, man, because it's a lot of fun. Okay, Bob, let's flip over from the pork chops The wings. I jumped over them at the beginning, but let's get back to those. Because
yeah, because it's really what we want to do is prep you for Independence Day weekend, right? Instead of next Saturday just telling you everything you should have, you'll already be on your weekend. So we want to try and give you as many ideas as possible so that if you're taking off for Houghton Lake or for Traverse City or even Fenville, wherever you're going, you got to pack things up and take them, be ready to roll. You'll have a good list with you, and you won't be just showing up with the packaged hamburgers, which happened to me Saturday, by the way. Another story. So
I
wings.
You were eating at somebody else's house.
No, they brought them to my house.
Oh.
So wings. There's lots of ways I like to do wings, but it depends on if you have a smoker or not. If you don't have a smoker, you're going to want to have your grill on a really low setting. I would marinate the wings in whatever flavor profile you want to go with, and you can do something as simple as sugar, salt, water, and you don't need any oil. There's plenty of fat on them. But then put some aromatics in it, like orange peel or lemon peel are really good. You can get those pre-dried in a
like
jar.
Like a grated, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And I'd like to throw those in there. Maybe squeeze some lime in. Maybe go with a little hot sauce profile. Typically not. I'm typically going to use a hot sauce to finish them off.
Yes, finish, right.
Because it wants to blacken. But I kind of like, there's some great Memphis profiles out there.
My
like
favorite.
Pig's butt.
I was
going to
go
like
there,
that.
Yep.
And that's what I always used to do on my smoker with wings. And I would bring those wings up to like 180 degrees at least before you serve them. Because it's like a thigh. It's pretty hard to ruin. There's right. So much fat in them that if you're careful and you just render them a nice long time, again, low heat, low and slow, just put them on the grill, let them take their time.
It could take you a half hour, 45 minutes to do wings on a grill.
It will. It will.
Because you don't want to cook them fast because they'll get tough and they'll dry out. If you cook them slow and just let them come up to temperature, it's a better way. You get a much better product.
Well, the other problem with doing it fast is you probably undercook them, to be honest with you. They'll be black. And then the joints would be bloody. That's worse.
Yeah, it is. Nobody likes to see that. Coming up next, we're going to go a little bit into northern Michigan. We've got a friend, Dave Vargo, who is with Paddle Hard Brewery. He's been on the show before, but man, does he make a great product. And he's got some exciting news of some things that are going on up there. And if you're headed north for the holiday weekend, you might want to swing by his place in Gaylord. So you listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and never before have we had more fun than we're going to have this weekend, because it's going to be beautiful. Summer is here, and get out in your backyard or at the cottage, or better yet, get in your neighbor's backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker and just have a little bit of fun, man, because you know what? That's what the summer is all about. If you're any kind of a griller, you got your game on right now, and we're here to help a little bit. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Well, right now I just had to slip a Paddle Hard Brewing koozie on my next cold Michigan microbrew here, because we're going to go up to Grayling, Michigan, right now on the grilling line, and we're going to talk to a fella who started this company called Paddle Hard. His name is Dave Vargo, and he was on the show for Tip Up Town. He came when we were at the big WUPS 98.5. So welcome back to the show, Dave Vargo.
Hey, thank you. Nice to see you guys again.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We had such a good time hanging out with you the last time. I thought it was about time we gave you a little more love, because you were just a fun guy. You and I believe it was your wife, Cindy, came out and brought us some wonderful beers. I think we had a Marathon, a little bit of Seth, and a Milltown Java.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. They were stellar. So what's going on with Paddle Hard? And tell people where you're at, because a lot of people this week and next weekend are going to be headed up north, and you're just off of I-75 and 27, so let them know how to find you.
Yeah, we're on the I-75 business loop in downtown Grayling on Michigan Avenue, the major intersection right here in our hustling and bustling town. And here in the month of July, we're getting ready for our first ever annual paddle battle. We're going to pit paddlers against each other in a pool, have a little tug of war, 32 applicants, and we're going to go until we get one winner. That'll be 4th of July day from 12 to 5. There is a beer tent available, so we hope to see a lot of folks come on down and enjoy the event.
Is it legal to wager on that?
I don't believe so. But what takes place behind the scenes,
right,
I can't control.
There may be a beer bet on a guy. Do they got a number on him? I mean, is there a way for the fans to get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. There's actually a bracket you can fill out. You can pick them up at here, a lot of the businesses in downtown Grayling, and it's much like the NCAA bracket where the paddlers are all seated. And you'll fill it out, and there are some prizes that the Downtown Development Authority here in Grayling are dealing with.
So okay, you got my curiosity peaked. Now they're in a pool. Are they like in a kayak, or are they on a swim ring, or what's this look like?
It's a 14-foot Old Town canoe, and they're going to face each other. And at the sound of the horn, they're going to paddle as hard as they can, pushing each other over a line. There's going to be a line behind each one of them. The first one to push the other paddler over the line wins that round, and they advance, and the other paddler's out.
Push. So they're nose-to-nose on canoes?
Yeah, in the same canoe, sitting in the same canoe, facing each other.
Oh,
paddle against each other to try to push the other person over the line.
Oh, so there's two people in a canoe.
Two people in one canoe.
Oh, boy, that's a great idea.
Right on Michigan Avenue. It's a pool that we built specifically for this event. So there'll be the spectators, the beer tents right there, and other activities going on for the kids as well.
And this is happening on the 4th of July, Monday.
4th of July, Monday.
Yeah.
It starts at 12, and it goes until 5.
Oh, man. This might be worth a road trip, Barbecue Bob. That sounds hilarious.
It should be fun to watch, absolutely.
So what else is going on with Paddle Hard Brewery these days?
Paddle Hard right now is under expansion for our new 10-barrel facility. It's right down the street from our current location at 118 East Michigan Avenue, and we hope to have that up and running here by August. It's going to be a production facility with a small tap room up front, roughly 50 seats. So another venue here in downtown Grayling, but give us the ability to get some more of our delicious product out in the market.
That's awesome. Well, I know you're very busy with that construction project right now, and I promised you I'd only take you away for 5 minutes, and I'm going to try and stick to my word. Any other last little tidbits or teasings you want to leave with our listeners?
No, everybody, just remember that Canoe Marathon is last weekend in July. It's our big event here in town. The beer will be flowing. The tourists will be here. It should be a great time. So you guys get a chance, stop on in and see us.
That's awesome. And that's in Grayling, Michigan. It's just north of Houghton Lake. There's actually Camp Grayling. I used to go to Grayling when I was in the Guards. There wasn't much there then. There certainly wasn't a great microbrewery there. But I'm sure the troops love it when they're up there.
Absolutely.
All right. Dave Vargo, Paddle Hard Brewery. You got to get up there. This is a good guy. He builds a beautiful, beautiful beer. I can tell you that.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen. Have a great summer. Cheers.
All right. Thank you.
Good guy. Yeah. Fun event. Check that out, man. They got a little pool they're constructing in the middle of the street, and paddle hard, buddy.
Well, I just was really impressed with him and his wife when they visited us at Tip Up Town.
Right.
They just seemed like such nice people, and it was just bright-eyed, you know? Some people are just impressive. This guy's impressive. He's going to go far in the beer industry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So cool. We've got just yet another. They're one right after another. Great guys that are in this brewery game.
So. Yes. So, again, in that whole concept of doing something for Independence Day, you might not even be going camping. You might not be going to a cottage. You might be doing it at your house. You might have friends over. You might be going to somebody else's house and be expected to bring some food. So how about if you really want to do some ribs and you don't have a smoker? What do you think of that?
Well, I think that there's a lot of ways to do those, and everybody seems to have their own method with ribs. Some people overcomplicate it. I think others just take it for what it is. It's a rack of meat, and you got to get it done. I don't want it done too much. I like it when I can pick them up with the tongs and they kind of bend a little bit, but they don't fall off the bone. To me, a perfect rib is you put it in your mouth and you got just a little tug, but the bone comes clean. And that's a function of temperature and not overcooking them, but making sure that they get to that proper temperature, which is somewhere about 185 to 190 degrees generally is what I'm thinking.
I've never put a thermometer on a rib.
You just know by the feel?
I don't know what that temperature is.
Right. Yep. That's what I use, but that doesn't mean it's right.
There's no meat. What are you probing?
Yeah, there's no
go
meat.
Go right through it. It's zero.
Right, yeah. Either, man, or it's 400 degrees because it's right through onto the grill grate. Yeah.
Yeah, I can honestly say I've had people ask me, well, what temperature should I cook them to? And I was like, ooh, boy, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue.
But you can tell by feel then.
It's just the feel.
Right.
I don't know. But
couple tips on ribs. There's a membrane on the back.
Yep.
Both schools of thought there. Some leave it on, some take it off.
I
prefer to take it off because it's chewy when you eat it. It comes off very hard if you've cooked them. It comes off relatively easy if they're raw still.
I only know one pro that leaves it on, and it's so evident to me when I eat his ribs that I can't understand why he does it. I still don't understand why he does it, but everybody's got their thing. So ribs off site. Let's say you're on a campfire. Can you do them on a campfire?
Yep. I'm gonna refer that back to you because
you're by far
the better campfire cooker than
I am. I'm not sure about that, but I do know that if you go down south and you go to those big pit barbecues, they're just cooking them over coals.
Right.
I mean they'll cook them at like 400 degree smoker ovens over the coals. It's a pit with a hood on it, and they're right on the coals. So. And you know what? In my opinion, they're not as good because they don't finish them off. They don't tent them. They don't wrap them, rehydrate, anything like that. But that's Alabama. That's how they like to do them.
Sure.
Personally, I have had to do them that way. I did them. And I would say if you have to do it that way, do your prep work, right? You're always the big prepper.
Right.
Not that
Let
he's
me pop
that,
this collar
not that he's
up.
That
yeah,
preppy.
Yeah, I'm that guy. Oh, that's not what you're talking about.
He is a frat boy.
Yeah.
I would say cut them up, especially if it's going to be a smaller grill. I'd cut them up into three or four rib sections.
Right.
I'd throw them in a Ziploc bag, and I'd marinate them in something real light so that you can pack them for a day or two in something. No acid, light profiles, but some salt and sugar. Real easy on all of them, heavy on the water. And then throw them on a fire. If you've got just a charcoal fire, throw them on the fire. Grill them as long as you can at a really low heat with the hood on. And then bring some foil, hydrate them, throw them in some foil, throw them back in for a low temp, and bring them up until that bone's a half inch out from the meat.
We're going to be doing some fancy burgers next. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071. If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale. Or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend, the last weekend in June, and we are prepping you for the holiday weekend coming up next weekend. Rather than tell you on Saturday what you should be doing, we've been working hard today to talk about all the stuff you can do ahead of time and take with you, because a lot of us blow out of town on Thursday or early Friday, take an extra day off, make a long weekend of this high spot in the summer. And we're going to continue that with a little bit of fancy burgers. This is not your stuff that your brother-in-law brings over that came out of a shrink wrap package, and they're like little frozen hockey pucks. We're talking real fresh burgers.
Dude, that's exactly what I had. They were frozen, and I won't say the family member. It wasn't in my family.
Oh, yeah.
But the
How long have you been married? It's all your family, brother.
The person directed me not to thaw them, because you could clearly see indicated on the bag that you could throw them on the grill frozen. So rather than arguing, I just bit my lip and walked away and go, it's only a burger. Who cares? Not
right.
That big a deal. And maybe since it's such garbage, maybe if you thaw them, they'll just like fall apart like sawdust.
Right.
You know, so maybe there's a method to their madness. So I'm like trying not to watch as this takes place. Now, it's on my big Cajun grill outside.
You didn't do it. You walked away and made them do it.
I said, okay, all right, not my deal. And nobody ever grills at my house.
I understand.
I walked away because I was supposed to be off for the weekend. So I fired up my big Cajun. I brought the big Cajun up from the pool and put it on the back grill,
right?
You know, got it all full. And this wannabe griller threw them on. And I said, do you want me to go out there and check those? Oh, no. Well, I could see they were already curling up.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been on for like 10 minutes. I've got natural lump. I got Parker Pure Mountain Charcoal on there, okay? Best charcoal in the world. It's not some garbage briquette. It's a real charcoal on there.
1,200 degrees.
Yeah. And I'm like, you want me to? No, I'm watching them. So I went out there and I flipped one of them up and it was getting all black. So I just started flipping them all over. And this certain person came out and goes, oh, wow, I guess those were getting kind of dark. It's like, yeah, frozen, burnt. It's like,
this is going to be Happy Father's Day
I'm having
to Barbecue
a,
Bob.
I'm having a hot dog. I am having a hot dog.
Yeah.
I tried giving them away to the boys when they left for college. Nobody would even take them.
Come on. So they've been eating your barbecue their whole life.
No.
They're not going to take that junk.
Yeah.
Come on.
And I had a bag full of burgers. It's like, come on. It's good protein. They're like,
freaking Zeus won't even eat those things.
Oh, no, Zeus would eat them. But he licks his butt, too, so his taste doesn't count.
Only because he can't.
Let's talk about designer burgers and not cardboard burgers from a box.
Yeah.
So how about, like, ground lamb? You ever do a lamb burger?
I have. I'm always a little leery of it because I don't know when it's done. I like my burgers medium to medium rare, and I'm not sure I can do that with lamb. I probably can. But I just...
Depends on where you get it, right?
Yeah. Well, like everything else, exactly. But I've only done it one time, and I frankly wasn't pleased with the results, so I'm like, I just haven't done it.
Have you ever had raw kibbeh?
That's your Lebanese side, right?
Yeah.
And
that's raw lamb, purely raw lamb.
Is it?
So I think if your burger's not totally black, you can probably be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's fresh.
This
right?
is a cool one. It's called a green chili lamb burger, and I got it out of All Recipes book magazine that comes. And it's lamb patty, some cheddar jack, southwestern roasted green chilies, and aioli or mayonnaise, and then whatever your choice of bun is. But basically, they're going to tell you to mix the chilies together with some other ingredients here. And I can post this if you want to. But they're basically saying just salt and pepper on each patty. Grill it up nice. 3 minutes on a side for medium rare. And then after you flip it, you place that cheese on it. And then you place the green chili topping on top of the cheese. And then you put the cover back down on your grill. And if you take a look at that picture, I mean, that's a gorgeous presentation. So, again, we're talking about a topping. This time, we're putting green chilies on one.
Right.
But Monterey Jack, green chilies, lamb burger on a nice bun, and then some spinach. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's going to look pretty good. You pop a few of those on a plate, and that guy with the cardboard hamburgers from the box.
Right.
Is going to be taking your burger, and you're going to get stuck eating his cardboard burger.
All right, let me give you my rendition of the fancy designer burger, because you know what? What I love to do is grill up some Vidalia onion and some portobello mushroom, chunked up, put that in a little bit of butter and a little bit of balsamic, and let that cook down until those get real soft. I take a little lump of that on top, and I'm using a beef burger now. I'm cooking that thing to medium rare. When I flip it over for the first time, I'm putting these onions and mushrooms on top. Then I'm going to take crumbled blue cheese and put on top of that and then close the lid. And that blue cheese, those onions and mushrooms are a little bit sweet with that balsamic and the butter. and then you put a little bit of that salty tartness of the blue cheese on there. You close that lid and let that blue cheese kind of just gel and bring it all together. Slap that bun on there, brother. That is, it's a simple little preparation, but my favorite topping is that sweet onion, that Vidalia onion, portobello mushroom, little blue cheese with that balsamic reduction on those onions. Oh, man, making my mouth water just talking about it, Barbecue Bob, man. So you like to stuff burgers, too. I'm not done a lot of that, but give a little technique on that, because there are a couple tricks.
Those are fun. There's lots of different ways to do it. If you've got a Facebook page, you can see all these people putting these different methods on there all the time. But the simplest way is if you just have a patty former, you know, the plastic deal with a plunger, you just make up a couple of thinner, wide patties, and then you get some nice hard cheese, put it in the center, and knead the ends of it so it stays together, because otherwise when that cheese starts melting, it's all going to shoot out of one side. But you put something like that in there, you put a little bacon in with it, you put...
cooked bacon, though, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you like, but the cheese is the best part. You're basically stuffing it, so when you take your first bite, the cheese just comes oozing out with your whatever. I like olive burgers, so I'm going to have, like, mayo and olive and lettuce and tomato on there. And it's just going to all meld, and it's going to get ridiculous. But if it's an olive burger, I'd say stuff it with provolone or cheese. Provolone or Swiss.
Yeah, both of those are good.
Yeah.
That's a man burger. It's time for a little bit of man law. Now you're a man! A man, man, man. Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Live it, live it. What makes a man? Is it the woman in his arms?
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. The best pasty in the Lower Peninsula.
Gravy or ketchup, your call.
You're just pouring salt on that, aren't you?
Yeah. No,
that
just
wound.
Just ketchup.
Just keep pouring salt.
Oh, no, just gravy.
The minimum amount of time you have to wait for another man is 5 minutes. The maximum is 6. For a girl, you're required to wait 10 minutes for every point of hotness she scores on the classic 1 to 10 scale.
There you go. It's all up to you. Mm-hmm. Be patient. It'll pay off.
Could be worth
it. That's the rule. That's the rule.
But it's all things Independence Day. There's some – I'm watching a special Bill O'Reilly's doing. It's all about the Founding Fathers, and I'd highly recommend you read the Constitution for this Independence Day coming up and get yourself back into what made this country so great, because we're all just so spoiled, we don't even know how we got all this stuff.
Yep, it's the weekend. Get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. We're going to do a little hot dog bar coming up next.